Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Today we want to welcome our special guest as he brings a message preached at the Servant's Heart Fellowship in Columbia, Tennessee, Pastor Rob Johnson.
Many old ghost towns in California are there along rivers because as the river came down, the town sparked up. The people that lived in the town were the employees of the mine, and they lived and worked and built houses and shops. And you go to these old ghost towns and they're just abandoned buildings, dilapidated, entire little towns that are completely lifeless. Because when the river was either dammed up or drifted, it dried up the town, it dried up the business. The people no longer had a place to work. So they one by one started leaving these towns and abandoning them. And they're interesting. If you ever get a chance to go out west, I would highly recommend a tour of the ghost towns. It's pretty fun. But as I was thinking about the importance of the river, from a spiritual standpoint, we know that there is a river, that river of living water. And it's of vital importance to our lives as a Christian. And the message that these old abandoned ghost towns are screaming, the spiritual message that they're screaming to us is this: if the river ever stops or moves away from you, you will die. Your prosperity will go first, then you will die. And I think that's an overwhelming message throughout the Word of God. Amen? That without that river of living water continually flowing through the lives of a Christian, it's of vital importance. If that ever dries up or drifts, then we're in spiritual trouble. But Pastor Rob, the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. That's true. But we're going to look at some things this morning, hopefully, that'll make you think a little bit about how important it is to stay rolling with the flow. That's, if I had to title this message, that's what it is, rolling with the flow. Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you. And God, I pray that your word goes forth and that every person here, that you've already prepared the ground in each heart and that it's ready for the seed of your word. And Father, you've commissioned some of us to take this seed and go share it with a coworker or a family member. And I pray that every believer here in boldness would stand up and faithfully share the water and share the seed that you've planted into every heart. I love you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know why I got off on mine so much, but let's turn to John chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 39. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. Now, it's important to recognize that Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. This was the last day of the festival, the most exciting day. Everybody was out and about, going into the temple. And Jesus stands and shouts into the crowd to all these religious people. He says, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. The Holy Spirit is a life-giving river to every believer. The presence of Jesus in your life is a powerfully flowing river. But our lives, like those abandoned ghost towns, can become the same way. Lifeless, dilapidated, dead. If, like the rivers in California did, if the river moves away from the mind, if we allow that river to drift away, if we don't stay connected to that river, we're in danger of dying the same death that those mining towns and those ghost towns suffered. It started off, they lost their prosperity. As the mine dried up in those towns, the prosperity went away. The people who did all the working and living and dying in that town packed up and moved out because there was no way to make a living without that river. And that's what we as believers have in common with these abandoned ghost towns. All of our life-giving blessings come from that river of living water. And if we don't keep rolling with the flow of that river, or worse yet, if we don't have the flow of that river of living water in our lives, if we don't have the continual movement and flow of the Holy Spirit from God's life-giving river, if the flow is not leading us, guiding us, and directing us, if we're not firmly in that current, we are in danger of dying spiritually. The reason this is so heavy on my heart is I've been talking to a lot of different people. Brother Ken and I went to a leadership luncheon the other day, and I talked with some other pastors, and there seems to be a common theme in church life today. And that is, there's more of an importance being placed on staying current. Facebook, Twitter, regular Twitter feeds, reaching out to people that way. This new technology has been like a kind of like a watch the birdie technique for Christians, because in our church services, we have become more focused on the presentation than we are the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. They're telling preachers that are preaching on TV, tone down the Holy Spirit talk. People don't understand it today. Back it off. Take it down a couple of notches. They're literally, by producers that are producing these TV shows, these church services, they're literally being told, take it down a couple of notches. There's a movement at large away from the Holy Spirit in the church today. But what we have done is we've tried to recreate the atmosphere of the moving of the Spirit. And whenever we try to recreate something that only God can bring, we're in deep trouble. Whenever we try to fake it or build it when God isn't doing it, we are in real trouble. This is for us as individual Christians, and this is a message for the church. But there's this great moving away from the Holy Spirit of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit in our church services. And you know what? The church can only go in the direction that the people go in, because the church is the people. It's important that all of us as believers stay in the river, stay in the current and the flow of the Holy Spirit of God. Let Him move us. Because if we stop paying attention, if we stop surveying our lives and checking our position to the river every day, then we're in danger of the river moving in a direction that's away from us and moving out of our life. And when that happens, everything that we know spiritually will dry up. We need to stay in the river and let the Holy Spirit of God move us. See that flow of a river. If anybody's ever been in a river, there's a flow. When you're in the river and you relax and you let that current take you, the river will take you where it wants you to go. But as soon as you try to stop in 2 feet of water and not flow with the current, you feel that resistance. When you try to swim against the current, you feel the resistance. You know what I'm talking about? That's the Holy Spirit of God. We should be in the river, letting the Holy Spirit guide and move our lives, every aspect of our lives. But when we, as children of God, start either stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit or trying to swim in another direction, we're going to feel that resisting power, that resisting current. It's like a riptide. Anybody ever been caught in a riptide on the ocean? It's terrifying. I got caught in one in California one time, and no matter how far I swam, they always say to swim in parallel with the shoreline, to swim out of it. And I did, and I swam as hard as I could for 30 minutes, and from the shore, it looked like I'd only moved a few feet. That's what the current of sin does. When we're in the river and the flow is taking us and the Holy Spirit's moving our lives in the direction He wants us to go, when we start swimming against that current, we feel that resistance. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, stay put. Let it go. Relax. Let me take you where I want to take you. But when our lives get to a point where we no longer feel that resisting current of the Holy Spirit, we're in trouble. Can somebody say amen on that? If we find that every day it's easier to swim against the flow of the Holy Spirit, we're in danger. When we start giving in to pressure, allowing things in our life, just accepting them, that this is the way it is, and we start allowing these things where we know we feel that resistance, and it gets easier every day to move in and out of that, away from that current, we're in danger. The current of the Holy Spirit of God is going to take us in the direction that He wants us to go. We need to remember. You know, it's like those, you ever see those documentaries where the salmon are swimming upstream? For thousands of years, these salmon, they know where they got to go, and they swim against the current, and you kind of see them jumping out of the water. They're really not making much progress, but they're swimming with everything that they can, and they're jumping out of the water. That's the way I see the church as a whole today. We're resisting the flow of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to take it down a notch because people don't understand it. Well, it's off-putting if somebody speaks in tongues. It's off-putting if somebody, if a worship leader loses it and starts crying before the Lord. And when that happens, I feel like it's like the church is like those salmon. They're swimming upstream with everything they have against the current of the Holy Spirit. See, and the Bible says the Laodicean church, the church in the last days, will have a form of godliness, but deny the what? Deny the power. Deny the current. Deny the flow. The Bible says they will be neither hot nor cold, and I will spew them out of my mouth. Church service needs to be all about the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It needs to be all about it, and we need to be able to go with the flow. Because our bodies, we need to understand that our bodies, we are spirit. It's not like we have a body that happens to have a spirit. No, we are spirit that exists in a body of flesh. And the Bible says all sin falls in one of three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All three of these things are rooted in the flesh. And when we start moving against the flow of the Holy Spirit, what we're doing is we're giving in to that sinful nature. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 says this: those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. As believers, we need to be a people who are all about having our mind set on what the Spirit desires, not what the flesh desires. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to move in the direction of what our flesh desires because it's always going to move us into sin. Well, Brother Rob, I'm not really a bad person, and I don't sin a lot, you know. And when we think of sin, we think of like the big three or the big five. I'm faithful to my wife. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't stay out late. I don't listen to rock and roll. All these things that we think of about sin, and everybody's different. But it's a sin to move against the current and flow of the Holy Spirit of God. Because the flow is taking us where God wants, and if we stop that or move against it, then we're following the desires of the flesh, and it's going to lead us to nowhere. You know what I'm talking about? That's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be the type of man, the type of preacher, the type of pastor, the type of father who has his mind set on the things of God. Because I'll tell you what, I have taken my flesh as far in every direction that you can imagine of sin. And I can tell you that there's no life. And even the sin of not going where God wants me to go. To the world, it would appear that I was okay. But in my heart, I was moving against the flow of the Holy Spirit. We need to roll with the flow in the direction that God wants us to go in. Amen? And just like a river, that's why I love the analogy of a river. When you're on top of a river, and you're, say, tubing, and you're just going with the flow of the river, it's lazy, it's relaxed, it's nice. But like a river, the deeper you go, the stronger the current. They call it an undertow. That's the way it is in our Christian life. The deeper that we go in our relationship with God, the stronger the current of the Holy Spirit is going to be in our lives. Amen? That's why a river is a great analogy for what I'm talking about. And I want to be the kind of father and grandfather and great-grandfather now who has his mind set on the things of the Spirit. And that's the kind of church that you and I, and collectively, we need to be. We, as a church, need to have our mind set on things not of the flesh, but things of the Spirit. We need to learn to roll with the flow and the moving of God's Holy Spirit and follow where His current takes us. Let's be spiritually governed like Moses was. Moses said, hey, Lord, if you're not there, we don't want to be there. Look at Exodus real quick. Paula, did I give you that one? Look at Exodus 33:15. This is Moses. He says, then he said to him, talking to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Over and over since the beginning of this church, when just a remnant came together in a rented building, our prayer over and over has been, God, if we're moving in the direction right now of if you ever supply us with land and a building, and we're moving in the direction, God, where we're going to get out and steer directly to the middle, don't let it happen. How many remember that, praying that over and over? God, we don't want to go anywhere that isn't your will. We want to roll with the flow of your Holy Spirit, Father, and we will wait, and we will stand in the gap, and we will be faithful, and we will do and live in the Spirit right here forever if that's what it takes. But God, if you're not there, we don't want to go there. See, that's the spiritual resolve that Moses had. And in our lives as individuals, this is where we all need to be. God, if it ain't about you, I don't want it. I remember having this opportunity. I shared it with a couple. Paula knows, she remembers. I had an opportunity where I was given, it was in ministry, it was before we started this church, but I was given this opportunity to take over my family's business organization. and turn it into something. There was a lot of money there on that table. There was a lot of freedom there on that table. I would have got to travel all over the world. Linda knew right away, no, let's not do it. Let's not go back into that life. But I was like, well, I just wonder, is this a door God's opening up? And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and they put pressure on me and more pressure. And the day came. It was a Friday morning at 11 o'clock. There was going to be a conference call with the attorneys in Los Angeles. I'd flown out for one meeting, and now I was getting the chance to have this conference call where they were all waiting for my decision. And I couldn't get a word from God. Linda had already gotten one. But see, I was searching the scriptures for a way to justify what I wanted to do. And I said, God, if it ain't you, don't let it happen. In the name of Jesus, God, if it isn't you, don't let it happen. 5 minutes before that call came in, I still didn't have a word. Anybody ever play Bible roulette? Where you just open up a scripture, God, speak to me. I used to do that when I was a kid, like those magic eight balls where you shake it up and look. Yes, kiss her. When you're 10 years old, right? So I took my Bible and I prayed in the Spirit, and I honestly prayed. I said, God, I need a word right now because my thoughts have clouded this and I'm so confused, and I know, God, you're not the author of confusion. So I have messed this thing up. I have put it in this emotional blender and I don't know what to do. If I take it, my family's going to be thrilled. My life is going to change. But if I turn it down, my family's going to be upset with me. God, I can't make this decision. You need to make it. So I played Bible roulette. I prayed. Lynn and I are standing there. And I opened the Bible, and a scripture in Galatians popped up that started off, a rich man died and left his family a great fortune. And as I read that scripture, the answer became clear to me that this was not God's will. God had just called me into ministry. It was the first step I had taken. The first 2 years that I'd been in ministry. Cheryl, you remember me before that? I didn't want it. But I said, Lord, I want what you want. So I turned it down and kept going in ministry, not realizing where God was going to take my life. And that's where we all need to be. Have that spiritual resolve Moses had, that where he said, God, if you're not there, leave us out here. Lord, leave us in bondage if you're not in this. Father, let us wander in the desert instead of going into the promised land if it isn't your will. And when we start praying that with our life, there's things that maybe we think that God has opened doors, things in our life that'll begin to close. And you'll think, wow, I thought that was an open door from the Lord. But when you pray, Lord, if it's not your will for my life, I pray against it in the name of Jesus. That's when God will start revealing stuff to you guys. Amen? All of us. Over and over, we prayed for this church. Father, we want to be submerged in your presence. We're not just starting another church that's going to kind of go in the same direction. There's got to be something different, Lord, and it's got to be you, because we don't know what to do. But Lord, if it's not of you, don't let it happen. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's read verses 12 through 14. This is Paul speaking. He says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. Pause right there for a second. If you live by what the flesh dictates, you will die. Does that mean that all of our flesh leads to sin? Every decision that we could make in the flesh would lead to sin? Yeah. And I'm not talking about, Lord, should I peel this orange and eat it? I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about living in the Spirit, which means we're in this bubble. We're in this relationship with God. First, we learn to walk in the Spirit. Then we learn to live in the Spirit. And living in the Spirit is saying, God, I want what you want. If this is not of you, let me feel that restraining current from your Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what it is. Let me feel that restraining spirit to stop me if this is not of you. Continuing on, I'll read verse 13 again. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death, that doesn't mean knock unconscious for a while. He's not saying shush him out of the room so he can come back the next day. Put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Not some, all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. This is saying that what proves that you're a child of God, what proves that you're saved, is that you will be led by the desires of the Spirit, not by the desires of the flesh. When you're led by the current and flow of the Holy Spirit and not by the desires of our flesh, that means not only our words and our actions, our words and our attitudes and our deeds. You know what I'm saying? Our desires and deeds will be in the river, will be in the flow of the current of the Holy Spirit. That's why, like with the mining companies, we need to take stock of our life and examine ourselves. Look at our position. Are we connected? Are we staying connected to the river? Amen? John chapter 15, I want to show you this real quick. And he's saying, stay in the river. John 15, 5 and 6, Jesus says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Here we go. Those who remain where? What's the next word? Those who remain. Paula, did we lose that scripture? John 15, 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain where? In me. And I where? In them. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone, here we go, who does not remain in me. Anybody who does not remain in the river, in the flow of the river, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So I go back to that early question. But Pastor Rob, God says He'll never leave us or forsake us. He won't. He qualifies that statement with those who remain in me and I in them. He's talking about a relationship, being in the river. Not everyone that yells or cries, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what I'm saying. It's very important that all of us take stock. Does that mean we have to get saved and run to the altar and get re-saved every week? Like I used to think when I was a kid, I always taught basically if I had a bad thought or said a bad word that I would be thrown into the fire. But that's not what he's saying. Those who remain in me and I in them, those who maintain the relationship, that means as a Christian, you're going to take stock of your life. You're going to feel that restraining power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to not move in the direction of the flesh, no matter how bad you want it or no matter how beautiful it looks, because Satan can appear as an angel of light. Not everything that comes our way is a blessing from God, and this is what I try to tell people over and over. My business is going awesome. I've got more money now than I've ever had in my life. Flesh if your job is taking you away from the house of God, and I'm not talking once in a while covering a shift, I'm saying if in your heart you're allowing anything to come before your relationship with God, then you're not remaining in Him. And it's not about church attendance. I'm talking about a relationship with God. It's very important that we take stock of our lives and see which areas of our lives are fleshy, which area of our lives are soulish. And we need to say, God, I've grown really comfortable with this way of life or with doing this. I've grown really comfortable and I don't see any harm in it. And God says, it may not be a harm like a sin that's destroying your witness, but it's a resistance to the flow and it's keeping you from where I want to take you. If you feel stagnate in your Christian life, that means there's no flow. Water only stagnates when the flow stops. So if you feel dry, stagnate in some of the areas of your Christian life, jump back in the river. Amen? Take me to the river. Sing it. Come on now. Take me to the river. You know what I'm saying? This is life here. This is an offering. This is something beautiful that God gives us, this river of life and this flow of the current of the river of life. It's awesome. Galatians 3:3, Paul said this, "How foolish can you be? After starting your new life in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" He's saying, what's up with you guys? There was a time when you were in the river. There was a time when you were rolling with the flow and the current of the Holy Spirit was taking you in the direction that He has planned for your life. There was a time when you could feel that restraining power of the Holy Spirit called conviction, and a time when you'd allow that power to make the changes and adjusting in your life that God wanted to make to get you back moving in the direction of His flow again. And this is the message. What Paul just said to the people is as relevant to us today as it was back then, and it will be until the Lord returns. Why? Because so many people, when they get saved, they come in and they end up playing church. Because they see things in the flesh that there in their minds make them a good Christian. Well, I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that. And Paul's saying, after you had and you started this new life in the Spirit, why are you now focusing on that? Because I tell you what, when you jump in the river and you allow the flow of the Holy Spirit to take you, sometimes you'll be moving, sometimes God will take you zippity-boom, you'll be hitting rapids, but other times you're just going to be lazily floating along. There's going to be times in life when you know God's trying to get you and move you, and there's going to be other times when you're unsure, but your heart is open. God, take me to where you want me to go. You guys see what I'm saying? Excuse me. And that's what I've said to so many Christians. I get calls quite often from people who got saved and they were really on fire for a while. And they start slowing down. And I see, my advice to them is the same. Get back in the river. There was a time when you hungered and thirsted after God. There was a time when you got up in the morning before you went to work and you opened the Word and you couldn't wait to see what God had for you that morning. You were hungry for the Word. There was a time when you'd pray throughout the day, all day. There was a time when you'd, on the way to work, you'd pop in a worship CD and you'd be so blessed before you even got to work because you'd be worshiping in the car. But now, it's a quick argument with the spouse and cranking up Lynyrd Skynyrd and driving to work without even thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying to those people exactly what Paul said to the church in Galatia. There was a time. Why? After you've tasted honey? Why, after you have this brand new life in the Spirit, are you now trying to do it in the flesh? every time when I was managing a mine, about every 6 or 7 months, the river would move out of our position. And you can't really see it. When it's a really wide river, you can't see. But we'd get out the transit, and we would survey and see that the river had drifted 25 feet from our position. And every single time, it was caused by the exact same thing. Somewhere upriver, there was a buildup of debris. After a rainstorm, the trees and stuff that fall in, sometimes silt sandbars would build up, and that debris would collect there, and it would cause the river to move away and go in a different direction. So we'd have to go upstream, find that pile of debris, and get out there with our dredges and move it so the river could flow again. And spiritually, this is what happens in our life. If you find that the river is moving away from your life, pray, and the Lord's going to reveal to you an area where there's a buildup of debris in your life. Maybe 90% of your Christian life is right on track, but that one area, that one 10% area, can cause enough debris to build up to move the river away from your position. Hidden sins, hidden things that we've buried under the surface that nobody can really see. The only effect that it truly has is that the river moves away from your position. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anything in our life that obstructs the flow of the Holy Spirit, we need to get rid of. Because if we don't, our spiritual life's going to end up being a ghost town. Like a fish out of water. You ever see a fish gasping for breath? Spiritually, that's where we're going to be. We need to make sure that we stay in the river and that we surrender and repent. Surrender our lives to God. Amen? Because as I said, sometimes we can appear to be in the water. Sometimes we go to church and we still have Christian bumper stickers on our car and we still play Christian worship CDs, but the water has dropped and the flow has stopped. And though we're in the water, that water is still. And we have to make sure, because still water can be stagnant and poisonous. It can actually kill you. In other words, what I'm saying is faking your awesome relationship with God for the sake of your brothers and sisters, that's not what we're here for. We're exposed. We should be transparent with one another. Why? Because we can help one another to stay in the river. It doesn't matter if you've got areas in your life where you're weak, pray about it. God's going to lead you to somebody in the fellowship, another Christian brother or sister, or a Christian somewhere else, maybe not in this church, but God's going to lead somebody or somebody to you or you to somebody that you can say, hey, I need prayer in this area of my life. You know, the internet has really enabled Christians to have and hide and hold on to secret sin. I read an article in Christian Today that said more Christians today, by 80%, are addicted to pornography than 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you had to go somewhere and buy it or go to those creepy little theaters or whatever they were. Okay, but now it's in the palm of your hands. And at the same time, our children are more exposed to secret sin. No wonder the church is getting bigger and shinier. And at the same time saying, tone down the Holy Spirit, take it down a notch. Satan's plan is to divide and conquer. and keep us building up debris under the surface that nobody could see, and the river moves away. You know what I'm saying? This is more of a teaching today than a preaching, and I don't know why God had this on my heart so heavy, but I want to encourage all of you to stay in the water.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.